No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we drink coffee to help maintain our never killed anyone streak.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Hello, and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 23, given on this day, 19 April 2020. I'm glad to be here to talk to y'all about shit, reading your emails, and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because, as always, you make this show great. And speaking of great, it's great that I forgot my background music coming in. Isn't that just awesome? I think so. I also noticed, looking at my show notes, is that had I done this just a few days earlier, we would have done episode 23 on 15 April 2020. So episode 12 was done on 15 April 2019, and we're doing episode 23 on 19 April 2020. Just noticed that. Useless information that I felt you needed to know. Anyway, welcome to another, edition, and, I'm not going to say COVID-19 edition because I already used that, and I can't stand the fact that we're at home. I really can't. And speaking of which, I've come to realize, and I'm all over the place today. Excuse me. I'm trying to adjust, the mixer here. I am realizing how much I hate working from home. I fucking hate it. It's disgusting. And it drives me up. It drives me nuts. Okay. So I think, let me be clear here. If I was working from home with my own business, that's one thing. I believe I could do that because I'm doing something that I want to do. I'm essentially my own boss. Assuming, right? I'm essentially my own boss. I'm doing everything I need to do, and I have freedom of movement within my home without feeling as though that I'm locked down to my home office, sitting behind a computer, staring at a screen, moving the mouse here and there, making sure I'm logged in, whether it's, probably through a portal or through a virtual private network, VPN, as it were. And without feeling that, and right now that's how I feel. It's funny being mission essential, non-essential. I'm so essential that my boss had basically kicked everybody out of the building, and with good reason. I mean, COVID-19, in a matter of speaking, I mean, it's no joke, right? Now, nobody in my office has contracted it that I know of, and I'm sure if somebody did, the announcement would have been made. But in all fairness, in where I work, it's a predominantly civilian organization. So you so much as have the sniffles, you're fucked because they want you out of there. And I could understand the reason why. Nobody wants to get sick. People don't mind being at home, but if I'm at home, I want to be home enjoying things that I'm doing, not sick in bed, coughing, puking, barfing up, freaking crap and freaking snot and lung butter all over the place. I mean, I get it, right? Excuse me, coffee. I still have a dry cough, and I'm thinking it's probably because of the pollen outside. It's just really, it's doing me over really well. But anyway, excuse me. So let me apologize in advance if I kind of hack here and there. I've been trying to control it, but every once in a while, it just comes out from far left field. But going back to working from home, it sucks. It really, really does, because I feel as though, and this is just me, right? My work ethic is, okay, I need to be near the computer all the time, making sure that, monitoring my emails, and if it's important, answer right away, do whatever I need to do, and then get it done and get it out and just be finished with it. But I feel as though I'm tethered and that I can't do anything else. And I'm sitting here looking at the time going, oh, it's almost 11:30, 12 o'clock, time for lunch, and either go eat lunch or go work out and then eat lunch later or don't eat lunch at all. But it sucks. And I don't see, I just don't see how people do it. And I'm an introvert. I figured I'd really, really like this, but I find that it's really driving me fucking nuts. It's driving me crazy. And it's not that I don't get out of the house. It's not that I don't get out of the office and go do things, or I shouldn't say my office. This is my studio. This isn't my fucking office. My office is in another building, you know, on post. Anyway, so I get out of here. I go outside and I do stuff. I don't really venture anywhere, you know, outside the neighborhood, unless I absolutely positively need to go get something. And with delivery now, I've really gotten lazy in that respect. Ordering the things that I, you know, basically need that I just don't feel out, don't feel like going and fucking getting, if that makes sense. Aside from toilet paper and going on the hunt for that, it's fucking nuts. And somebody posted on Facebook the other day that there was a picture, a scene. Now, granted, I understand it's The Walking Dead, but the purpose behind it was, even in this scene where Daryl and the group, I don't remember which season it was some seasons ago, were in a convenience store, grocery store, and on the back shelf was big 12, 24 packs of toilet paper. And the comment was something to the effect of, see, even in the zombie apocalypse, there's toilet paper. So I still don't understand. I still don't understand this whole fascination with, oh my God, we're going to be locked down. People are in a panic, doing panic buying and buying vast amounts of toilet paper. And it's weird. It is really, really weird. Now, I would understand if you were, you know, a family where you have like 5 or 6 kids and they're freaking shit factories, you know, and then maybe people might react to the CV-19 differently. Or they may get a dose of diarrhea while they're sick, and that's causing them to use copious amounts of toilet paper. I get it. And I feel bad for those families who have to go shopping and are buying for the masses, that is their family, whatever those numbers are. I would assume anything more than 4, you know, you should be authorized to at least buy another 12 or 24 pack and not just be limited to one package. I get it. But how do you prove that, right? Bring all the kids in when we're supposed to be practicing social distancing. Here's a picture of my family, and my little kid is holding up a newspaper with the current date on it, you know, and this is my mom and this is my dad and we are family. I'm brother, I'm sister. I mean, how do you prove that where you're supposed to be leaving your kids at home so you don't expose them to things, right? It's absolutely fucking crazy. But yeah, I feel really bad for them because, you know, it's like, yeah, kids, we've got to make this 1 12 pack last a couple of weeks. You know, now you play it smart. If you've got, you know, kids that are of a good age that where you could say, okay, you grab a pack, you grab a pack, you grab a pack and go into separate lines, then I get it. You know, here's some cash and then go and do it. Got to be smart about it, you know, but still, what if you have kids that you really aren't of age and got this little 5-year-old coming, I need TP. Okay, never mind. I am I'm going off on a tangent a little too much. Speaking of, there was something else I wanted to talk about really quick, and it's emails. But before I get into reading an email from our favorite librarian, there was an email posted by Iron Bean Coffee Company, and I felt compelled to read the information here that they posted, and this is entitled April 2020 Iron Bean Coffee Update, and I wanted to go down to here we go. Okay, so www.ironbeancoffee.com, 25% off, # coffee stimulus. Okay, it's all one word, # coffee stimulus. The coffee stimulus sale is going way better than planned. There are a lot of first-time customers that may have been waiting for the right time to try Iron Bean Coffee, and this 25% off sale has been the trigger for them to show up. Welcome. Although not the best circumstances for us to put our best foot forward, we want to genuinely apologize for apologize for any delays. We honestly were not prepared for this amount of showing up. Why we did it? Coffee is a need right up there with shelter and food. Personally, I think it's more important than food, but I digress. In an uncertain time for both you and us, we need to make sure your coffee needs could be met, and we needed to keep the lights on. We went as low as we could go for an extended period of time. How long it will last, I don't know, but keep following. We won't shut it off without a warning, so you could plan. That's the right thing to do. Oh yeah, the coupon code is very simple, the number 25, and it's nothing fancy. So the most important part from Fred and Chanel, thank you. Your support is truly legendary. We could not continue to exist without you. Period. It's been 3.5 years of grinding, literally. Every day and every week has gotten harder, and we couldn't be more thankful. Thank you to the hashtag Iron Bean Nation for holding up the mountain, plugging the dam, catching us when we fall. Thank you to all the new folks on board. It's energizing to see a new name, catch a new follower, or answer a question via text or messenger. Thankful is a word that we have been repeating on a high level. Love you guys earnestly. And from both Fred and Chanel Diedrich. I felt it was really important and compelling to read that to you all and to put that information out there. They also have a 2020 Memorial Day mug that will be out. And if you really want to read the history of how they're putting this all together and the meaning behind the Memorial Day mug, I would go to the Iron Bean website. And there is a blog post, I'm assuming it's a blog post, called We Are Going Way Back on This Coming Remembrance Day, 102 Years in Fact. And there is a link there. Let me open it here really quick. So it is off the ironbeancoffeecompany.com under, and I'll put the link on the website so you can go read it. It is really freaking awesome. It is a look into the history of Memorial Day, going back to the red poppies, Flanders Fields, and so on and so forth. The story about how the poppy came to be. So really interesting article. I would invite you to read it, and I will put the link on the nosyntaxpodcast.net website for you, so you can go straight to it. Anyway, all right, going on to further emails. We have an email from our favorite librarian, and let me pull it. I've just got shit all over the place today. It's been kind of crazy this past couple of days with just trying to organize and do stuff. I'm finding that I'm doing things that I should have done a year ago. And it's stupid little minute crap. My OCD, surprisingly hasn't been bothering me as much as I thought it would, but I have 3 desks in my studio. I have the desk that I use for podcasting. I have a desk that I use for all my other works. And then I have another desk that I strictly use for my own entertainment purposes. Let's just say that. No, not Pornhub. who does that? Especially, you know, when you're confined for days on end. Who has time to go to Pornhub? I mean, seriously? Really? Give me a fucking break. Just kidding. Anyway. So our favorite librarian, Leslie, Okay. So our favorite librarian writes, "Good Easter Sunday to you, Landon. Another entertaining show. I'll be happy to be your guest again anytime. And you do have a great voice." Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really don't think so. As I always say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't say thank you enough. So thank you again. She continues to write. "So if you roast coffee and Fred gives you a thumbs up, I'll be expecting some. And if you're ever in San Antonio again, I do use water from a Brita pitcher to make coffee. No need to bring filters. I buy my pods on Amazon, San Francisco Bay Coffee. The pods are compostable. I will not buy the plastic pods." And, you know, so here's the thing. I'm lazy sometimes, okay? I'm just going to be flat out fucking honest. I'm lazy. So there was a company that when I was stationed in Maryland that my boss introduced me to. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they had pods that were compostable. And I was really amazed by it. I was also amazed by the difference in the flavor. And I talked about this on the last episode where you could taste the difference between pushing hot water through a plastic pod versus pushing hot water through a filter. You can clearly taste the difference. And in my opinion, not that my taste buds are fine-tuned, that fine-tuned that I could taste the plastic, but I could kind of sort of taste the plastic. I could taste the pod. It's like drinking Starbucks. It's like drinking Starbucks coffee. They put that hot coffee in that recycled cardboard cup. And after a while, you begin to taste the remnants of the cup. So the coffee has completely lost its flavor. It is gone to shit, in my opinion. So I look at it from the perspective that doing a pod and doing a compostable pod clearly obviously is going to have two different flavors. But where I'm getting to the lazy part is this. I recycle, but I take my sweet ass time taking the pods, taking the cap off, the foil top, rinsing out the plastic tub, and then ditching the tub and the foil piece, right? And of course, this is my thing too. And not to get off topic or go off on a tangent, excuse me. But what pisses me off about the recycling process, and I guess I understand it, but and I don't know how Germany does it. I mean, they are very strict on their recycling rules, but I don't know what their recycling rules are in regards to, okay, I have all these Keurig or coffee pod lids, and I have all these coffee pod tubs. You will not allow me to put it in a recyclable little mini bag to put it in a recycle bin. You want me to just toss it in separately. To me, that's messy. To me, that doesn't give, you know, that doesn't make whoever is at the recycling facility opening this can and going, fuck, I've got to reach in and pick up these little individual frickin' pod tops and then reach in and get these individual tubs that say stuck to the bottom, because some people don't wash their shit and it gets sticky in any trash can. I don't give a fuck what the hell happens. Some people throw things in the wrong bins at time, even though they're color coded, they don't pay attention. But it comes down to that individual having to freaking take that extra time when we could be nice as people who are, you know, who are environmentally conscientious. Anyway, to make it easier for them by having that shit compartmentalized in a little plastic bag so that you're not having to reach in and freaking grab stuff or God forbid, well, I shouldn't say God forbid, because it does happen, especially in this neighborhood. And I got some fucking lazy neighbors. So on Tuesdays, you put out both the regular trash and the recyclables, right? And you put the recyclables, and here I go off on a tangent again, but it's all relative, right? Okay, get it. It gets windy. And if your trash cans aren't full, they're going to tip over. If you don't keep your lids closed, somehow the wind does a dip inside the can and wraps around outside the can and knocks it over and blows your shit all over the neighborhood. And we're on lockdown, people. We haven't been anywhere for the past fucking month. And you're in your home. You know it's windy outside. You don't take precautions by putting the trash cans closer to the curb and maybe putting the cans together so they don't blow over. I mean, they still might. But if you hear a can blow over or you just happen to look outside like I do because I watch the neighborhood, I always look and check on my cans. Because if they get knocked over, I don't want my trash in my own yard, much less anybody else's. But other people aren't as conscientious about their stuff. And then the shit blows all over. And then even if it is in their yard, they don't bother to go pick it up. And I'm like, this is a neighborhood. I live in an HOA neighborhood, and evidently this HOA just doesn't give a shit anymore. And I guess I should count my blessings, right? But there are just certain things that you're out there walking around anyway because you have nothing else to do. You've walked around in this neighborhood more than I've seen you within the past year. You know, do some, you know, other than just walking around with that type of exercise, practice some bend and reach. You know, reach down and pick up that stuff. You know, there's other trash cans, or bring a bag with you, you know, and if you see it, fucking pick it up. I mean, these people are just as bad as letting their dog shit in your yard and then not clean up afterwards. I've got video cameras all over the exterior of my home. So I see all this stuff. And if I ever see that neighbor, I will call that motherfucker out and I will show him the video. I'm like, look, what's the deal? You don't carry bags, but you'll let them shit in my yard. Bastards. How did this all spawn from a coffee pot? Oh, yeah, recycling. But yeah, I'm kind of lazy with that. So, but if I have the compostable pods, then yeah, that's actually really, really, really easier. And the thing is, I would just have to figure what I would use it with. Simply because I couldn't put it out anywhere. I don't have a garden. I don't have any place that it could be really used unless I put it in the grass somewhere. You know, I don't really have a place for utilization of compost. So yeah, it doesn't really do much for me. And not only that, I have a dog. His name is Solo, who's a pain in the ass. And if he wants to put everything in his mouth. If it's a leaf, he catches it, he chews on it. If it's a blade of grass, he catches it and chews on it. We've got blooming trees with flowers on them, and they get blown off by the wind. He chases those little flower petals, and he tries to eat them. It's crazy. So I really don't want to have coffee grounds anywhere, you know, in the yard where he walks, or where he's prone to walk, or if he smells something interesting, he will pull me in that direction. Where not necessarily coffee's bad, but if there's any residual caffeine left in those grinds and he gets it, I don't need him to be any more hyper than he is. But anyway, it's amazing how a discussion could just like totally go off topic, you know, and it all had to do with one single coffee pod. Excuse me, more coffee. She goes on to say, on food, I bought some gluten-free baked goods unknowingly. Gave me the worst stomach ache and gas ever. This delicate blossom couldn't believe the sounds her gut was making. Ribeye, my absolutely favorite cut of beef. When San Antonio reopens, I'll be going to J. Alexander's for a ribeye and a martini. That's assuming they stay in business. I'm afraid some of my favorite places won't make it. That bothers me. And I think that bothers anybody. And I think it bothers, obviously, it's going to bother the people who own those businesses more unless we do something to keep them going. Most restaurants that I see, even commercials are out right now. You know, they're jumping on the bandwagon with the Grubhub and DoorDash. And, you know, they got people that are going out there and picking up and making deliveries. Because they lost their job. And I mean, and kudos to, I believe it's Domino's who has the mega commercial of all these owners that are saying, hey, we're hiring, you know, and because, you know, while we need to keep businesses open and put food on the table, you have families and you need to make money in order to put food on the table. And this freaking, granted, it's better than nothing, the $1,200, the $2,000 stimulus check, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And I think that's great. But it's not enough. It just really, really isn't. Where other countries, I've heard, I haven't read or validated what I've heard, so this is all hearsay, but other countries are still paying people a certain percentage of their paycheck per month. So they're still getting paid for being at home until all this blows over. We turn around and what do? Here's fucking $1,200. Now, if it's $1,200 a month for the next 6 to 8 months to a year in order to help, you know, try to balance things out, $1,200 is better than nothing. And if we don't go into a position of, and I'm utilizing wrong words here, but if we don't do anything to get companies, to get banks and credit card agency, well, banks and credit cards are all together tied in the same, one the same. But if we don't get them to assist to either waive a percentage, to waive late fees, or just say, hey, give us a grace period where we don't have to pay until we could get on our feet, right? And then continue to march from there. Maybe lower your fucking interest rate, you know, and stop it with these fucking monthly interest charges. I mean, no wonder fucking people in America can't catch up, because your fucking interest rates on some of these credit cards are absolutely fucking high. And these charges that you fucking give, you know, shit, are just as much as a car payment in some cases in the grand scheme of things. Well, maybe not a car payment, maybe a motorcycle payment, but Jesus, and I'm going through that right now. So I've already canceled two of my accounts simply because of that. And I don't use my credit cards all that often, but these credit cards I've had since God knows when, and I never really paid attention to the interest rate until now, for whatever reason. I'm an idiot, but I'm looking at these going, okay, this is just not going to fucking work, right? So I'm just like, hey, I'm done with you guys. You know, and then, of course, they go into the whole thing, well, what we'll do is, no, stop. I want it canceled. I'm going to just fucking pay it off and close it out. And hey, you know, maybe in the next life. It just sucks. But we have to do something. We really, really, really do. And it's going to be interesting, and not in a good way. It's going to be interesting to see what businesses were able to weather the storm, as it were, and continue to make it. And what businesses were just completely shut down, and what can we do to help them get back? You know, I mean, instead of COVID-19 is important, all this, you know, everything that we're doing to try and keep the virus from spreading is important. But at the same time, you know, what are those plans to help really stimulate the economy? What are those plans to really help those small businesses? And if some of those small businesses have closed and are on the brink of filing for bankruptcy, what can we do to better help them to avoid that, right? How can we relaunch and get them started? So it's trying times, ladies and gentlemen. These are the times that try both men and women's souls. Okay. She goes on to say, quarantine and neighbors. One of my oldest friends lives down the way here, so I know her very well, and I know a few others by name, but mostly I just don't want to be bothered with them. My home is my castle, and I don't want too many people crossing that moat. I am missing the social aspects of work as well as our campus. Plus in our office, two monitors are so much better than a tiny laptop. I so fucking agree with that. My God. And here's the thing. So talking about work, going back from my earlier topic about how much I fucking hate working from home, the government in their infinite wisdom, particularly my office, not sure what spawned them to do this. I have an idea. But they went with this small form factor laptop. I mean, my government laptop is smaller than my iPad Pro. The screen is probably 12 to 13 inches. The keyboard is so compact, my hands bump together. I would say it's probably, if it's probably 12 inches wide is what the base of the laptop is. And it sucks. So when I get documents that I need to work on, excuse me, coffee, provided they're not sensitive in nature. Excuse me again. Provided they are not sensitive in nature, which most of the documents I work off aren't. It's mostly policies and procedures and shit. I send to myself, to my personal email, and work on one of my other desks. Because I just can't sit there and look at a screen, and I like splitting my screen. Now, I only have one dual monitor system, and then I have a single monitor system that is about as wide as a dual monitor. And I'm able to split the screen and work side by side and be able to manipulate things better than I can on this little laptop. It just fucking sucks. You know, so yeah, I can't, even with glasses on, it really chaps my cheese, man. It sucks. So yeah, I completely understand. Tiny laptops are a bitch, but I get it. I mean, okay, if you have to pick up and take your laptop either on a plane or, you know, because you're going on a trip somewhere for business, for your organization, or you take it home, it's really easy to just undo it, put it in there, put it in a bag and go. And you don't necessarily need a laptop bag. You know, you put it in a sleeve and you can put it in your own backpack and be done. It's very easy. And I will say kudos to them, because what they did think about was, hey, let's get extra power packs. So you have an extra power pack that is in a case waiting for you to take with you, so you don't have to reach under the desk and take the one that originally came with it. So good idea on that. Not a great idea on the small laptops, in my opinion. understand the functionality, but, you know, or form in a manner of speaking, form versus function in the context that it's way too small for even me to work with. Can't stand it. So while I like the idea, I'd much rather have a 15 to a 17 inch screen, you know, and maybe find a lighter form factor, like, you know, what Mac does with their MacBook Air or MacBook Pro. Way lighter. I mean, my mini laptop is just as heavy. Anyway, she goes on to say, right before all this COVID-19 shit hit the fan, I saw my eye doctor for suddenly bad vision. I thought the retina might be detaching. Miss Todd, you have a cataract, was his diagnosis, to which I thought, what the fuck? Anywho, can't get that taken care of until who knows when. That sucks. This sucks. COVID-19 sucks. Just COVID-19 sucks. Anyway. Oh, speaking of COVID-19, I don't remember who the morning show host was. It was like one of those Today MSNBC type things. I don't recall her name. Somebody had mentioned it on another podcast, and it just a memory sparked. She was commenting. I'm not even. This is not her exact words. Not paraphrasing. Not quoting. But something to the effect of, what was it? Where was the CDC? I can't believe she said this. So we're at COVID-19, right? The new virus, COVID-19. She asked, where was the CDC? I believe it was the CDC. Where was the CDC for COVIDs 1 through 18? And I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. But I just wanted to put it out there. And I mean, nobody challenged her on it. And there are going to be people, there are going to be people out there in the masses that watched this show and said, you know what? She's right. What happened to the CDC through COVID 1 through 18? Why was 19 so important? That's the fucked up thing, is that, you know, people in masses can be really, really stupid. And they're so gullible and naive that they'll listen to crap like that and freaking believe it. Anyway, moving on. Working at home. Wow, maybe I should have read this paragraph first. Working at home. You've got more space than I, but isn't it a drag being tethered to one's computer all day with no office banter, jokes, walks to the Central Market, etc. Oh, I miss Central Market in San Antonio. That place is fucking awesome. I have lots of projects to do, never-ending emails, plus an online class, but it is so much harder to get motivated. I'll be home until at least 30 April when UIW will reassess. May semester and summer classes will all be online, so I think a lot of us could return to the library and be pretty safe so long as we don't let people in the library. And I think she sent me a text message a few days after episode 22 was released, and I believe they're talking June 1st. I think she said June 1st is when they may be going back. Not sure yet. But getting off the work topic, going to this when are we going back to work type thing, because I know a lot of us are really, really fucking anxious and would like to get back to work. I most certainly would be too, because I know exactly what she's talking about. You know, the interactions in the office, the distractions, as it were, those are welcome distractions. I don't have those distractions here. I mean, maybe the occasional mass text message from my coworkers, which is all fun and games, but it's not the same as the social interaction you have in face-to-face conversations where you have other people, you know, in real time butting in, providing their two cents, you know, and just being able to let off a little steam before we bear down in our cubicles and act like cubicle rats and just start totally focusing on what we got to do for the day. Right. So I miss that interaction or the occasional, hey, I need some information in real time. And you're right there versus, hey, you call somebody and you really hate bothering them at home. Even though technically you're working, you hate calling them, but you need information in real time. And so I agree with it. I really miss the social interaction altogether. Let's see. She goes on to say celebrities and COVID-19. Oh, my aching ass. To quote my father at his mildest, They have no idea about how they have no idea about much of anything. Gwyneth Paltrow is the one who really makes me roll my eyes. A candle that smells like her vagina? What? I have no idea. What? Leslie, you're going to have to, I'm going to have to Google this. A candle that smells like her vagina. Okay. And Madonna in a bathtub say a candle. I'm sorry. A candle. Why would you want to have a candle that smells like your vagina? Excuse me. I don't mean to sniff in the. Almost had some nose bogeys there. Excuse me, coffee. I tried to blow by that one and intentionally tried to ignore it, but I couldn't. Why the fuck? A candle. I'm trying to get the words out, but I can't get beyond a candle that smells like her vagina. Where did that come from, Leslie? You know what? Hold on. We're going to. Hold on. So, a candle that smells. Okay. No, that's email. I don't know where that came from, Leslie. Candle that smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's vajuju. Showing, oh my God, it's true. Oh, no way. For $100. Oh, thank you, Leslie. I really needed this. So, this is off of Mercari.com, M-E-R-C-A-R-I.com. And it's Heretic. This smells like my vagina. Bouget Parfum. Gwyneth Paltrow candle. This smells like, and it says my vagina on it. $100. Looks like somebody's selling it. This is my 22nd candle. Let me see if there's anything on Goop. So goop.com. Really? So Goop and vagina, get it? This smells like my vagina candle, $75. With a funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautifully unexpected scent. This candle is made with geranium, citrusy bergamot, if I spelled that correctly, and cedar. Absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose and ambrit seed to put us in a mind of fantasy, seduction, and sophisticated warmth. Candles are made with 100% natural, unbleached cotton wicks, which require special attention. Please take care to trim to 1/8 before every use. Okay, so one, it's on a website called Goop, and then you're associating a vagina with a website called Goop, and then you're telling me about all these scents that are used. So she must wash her crotch in the. But hey, the cotton wick is what threw me off too. For obvious reasons, and most women would get this, or all women would get this, excuse me. Let me retract and rephrase that statement. All women would get this. Not all men would understand the cotton wick. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Please take care to trim it 1/8 before every use. Hey, sweetheart, I've got a candle that smells like your vagina. Yeah, let's see. We already passed February, didn't we? Mother's Day is coming up. Okay. Thank you, Leslie. I really needed that. Okay. And Madonna in her bathtub saying we're all in this together. I'm betting her experience is nothing like mine. I can't remember the name of the actor who is a big anti-vaxxer. I'll bet you $10 he'll want a dose of CV-19 vaccine when it's available. Dipshits for the most part. I completely agree. Whoops, sorry, didn't mean to hit the mic. I completely agree. I do not understand at what level, and I bitched about this with a capital B on the last episode. I'm not going to go into this again, but fuck you all. Really? I mean, I don't feel sorry for you. I don't care about you. You still continue to do your shows because you can't do them in live on TV, and I get it. Understandably. And then, hey, we're all in this together. Fuck you all. I'm not trying to be a have-not. I'm very thankful for what I have, what I fucking work for. And look, I'm not saying actors and actresses, TV stars, movie stars, even radio stars, popular radio hosts, right? They could do their job from home essentially anymore with the new technology that we have. I mean, fuck, I'm sitting here in my studio recording a podcast. How hard is that, right? Evidently, it's hard enough because I can't get them out in multiple, on time. But anyway, just fuck them all. I mean, what purpose does it serve for you to sit there and say, hey, we're all in this together. It'll be okay. Yeah, it's okay for you, bastards. Anyway, she goes on to say, degrees, I have two. One I enjoyed getting despite being a poor classroom learner. The other, my master's, wasn't very enjoyable. It's a union card. Once I got the degree, I could apply for professional positions. I will never work on another degree. I don't need no stinking PhD. I just don't. I don't need no PhD. Of course, some people walk around and insist that you use that title. Unless you're a doctor, I mean like a doctor, and you are like the brainiac of freaking, I can't even get the words out. I'm a doctor. What's your degree in? Underwater basket weaving. Right. Okay. It was a pleasure listening to you today. Glad I could keep you on track. Yeah. I was really, I had a hard time last episode. I just couldn't focus. And I had my ducks were not in a row. My ducks were definitely not in a row last week. So just happened to look and went, oh shit, I printed this out. Let me read this. Because I was completely off track. Completely off track. I need the laughs. So thank you, man with the velvety voice. Fred did say, write something about your voice. You were not imagining things. Your librarian, Leslie. And once again, all errors courtesy of autocorrect. And here's how to order. Anyhow, thank you, Leslie, for your email. That was so awesome. Great topic of conversation. Now, to move on, and of course, I don't segment my podcast. I've seriously thought about it, and that's all I've done. Haven't gone anywhere further with it. Still thinking about it. Not sure which way I'm going to go. Anyway, excuse me. Okay. Coffee. All right, so I'm going to POW. All right. Now, let's talk about some stupidity. Now, here's the deal. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. I didn't stay in a damn fucking Holiday Inn Express last night and come out to know everything about CV-19. I don't know what the CDC knows, what they don't know, what the president knows and is telling us, what the president knows and isn't telling us. Trust, I don't think the trust in the government is there. I completely understand it. I try to see it from both points of view. Really, I do. But sometimes, especially when you're looking at the numbers, and especially here in the Virginia, D.C. area, and I haven't looked at them recently, but the last time I did look, we were still climbing in numbers, and D.C., Virginia, not a very big area, right? But we are climbing in numbers. Now, how much we're jumping up per day, I can't recall. I want to say 10 or 20. Maybe go as far as say almost 100 per day. And we're climbing. We're not hitting a plateau, and we are showing no signs as of a few days ago of dipping. Now, as of today, 19 April, we might be. I don't know. Every state is different. When I was checking by states a few weeks ago, Montana only had 22 cases. 22 cases. Now, Montana is pretty wide, vast, open. I've been through a couple areas. I know they've got some inner cities. They probably got some small towns. But Montana, 22. I think California or area or another state was like 50, okay? But everywhere else that doesn't have big open skies and your neighbor isn't 10 miles down the road, but literally right up in your face next door, it's still increasing. And to turn around and say, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, is 60 days enough for us to be at home, excuse me, for us to be at home through this pandemic in order for it to take a nosedive, dip, and then say, we're safe? The only reason why I say this is because of this. We are in a transition between fall and we're in spring. We're going to be going into summer soon. And we are also in a phase where it's allergy season. And I think we're still in the flu season, if I'm not mistaken. So you have a triple threat. You have a potential hat trick there. And if you're being ordered to stay home, say, even if we have to stay home through the month of May all the way to June, is that enough? Or could we potentially be on the front end of the storm and see, and when we start to see everywhere, I'm not just talking five states, I'm talking everywhere, continental and, you know, outside the continental United States, right? CONUS and OCONUS. If we start seeing a really good dip down, are we really safe? Or is that the eye of the storm centering itself? And then the worst is yet to come. I don't mean to sound like a doomsayer. I'm not trying to be, but I did focus on a comment by one of my friends on Facebook, you know, that talking about God sending plagues to basically essentially punish man. So what if this, in that context, was exactly what I just described? That these past few months, the storm has been brewing, and then now it's starting to taper off. We're getting into the eye of the storm. And then we say, okay, everything's fine. Let's go to work. Let's start socializing. I think people are going to be cautious still. I think they'll probably implement wearing cloth masks at work, especially if you're in areas where you have to be in close proximity. Even if you're separated by a cubicle, you still have to wear a mask or whatever case may be. But I have the distinct feeling, and I hope I'm wrong in saying this, and I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist when I do say this, but could there be the potential of a resurgence of the virus in a more mutated form that wipes out more of the population? I don't think that if it was God doing this, Mother Nature, right? If God, Mother Nature was doing this, wouldn't it be a little bit more impactful? When you look at the Spanish flu wiped out millions. All the other plagues wiped out millions of people. And we're at a few hundred thousand. And people are saying, well, it's a decline. Let's open business because we're going to lose money. Does it really sound right to me? It doesn't. And so when I think about stuff like what I'm about to read here, and this is off the Huffington Post, I believe. So I only take it at face value. I only expect you to take it at face value. But it reads, hundreds defy common sense. Safety at InfoWars rally to reopen businesses. It was yet another example of right-wingers ignoring measures that have been put in place to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Now, this article is by Sebastian Murdoch, and it was posted yesterday, and it's about a three-minute read. And conspiracy theory website InfoWars convinced hundreds of people to gather in close proximity in Austin, Texas, on Saturday at a rally to protest business closures caused by a global pandemic that has killed thousands of Americans. Notice it says thousands, okay? InfoWars talk show host Owen Schroyer organized a rally called You Can't Close America after threatening earlier this month to mobilize his gullible audience into defying common sense social distancing orders. Absolutely. Gullible audience. Get that one person to say some stupid shit, and there's people out there that will fucking believe it, right? Reopen the economy next week, reopen everything next week, or I really might come on here and just start calling for revolting against this, he said on InfoWars on April 8th. Right Wing, which first reported, he made good on the threat when hundreds of his listeners showed up at the state capitol Saturday demanding that businesses that have been closed be allowed to reopen immediately. Protesters carried signs in support of President Donald Trump, who has done little to convince his base to stop protesting stay-at-home orders in Michigan. Sometimes the way people write, you know, that reading-writing thing, when you're trying to read what somebody writes, you have to slow down. Sometimes commas just don't need to be in some places. Protesters carried signs in support of President Donald Trump, who has done little to convince his base to stop protesting stay-at-home orders. In Michigan earlier this week, hundreds of anti-safety protesters blocked streets in defiance of executive order from government Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat, to shelter in place. Trump responded by calling for a mutiny against state governments on Twitter. "Liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia," Trump said in a Friday tweet storm. I weep for the future. Anyway, so a few hundred people, but again, a few hundred people who could be potential carriers, who may be infected, who may not be sick, who are the same ones who are going into stores and not obeying the rules of the stores, keeping distance, not leaning on glass, not touching shit when you're asked not to, you know, and getting up in people's faces. I mean, come on. And these are people who are the threat. To me, they're worse than the virus. The virus needs a vessel. That vessel is a human being. Now, I did hear something where there was an animal that contracted coronavirus, and not to set people off, but there was an animal that contracted and died of coronavirus. That's kind of weird, in my opinion. Now, it was the only animal, and I'm like, do we know this for sure? But I haven't seen anything more on this. But the thing is, this virus needs a vessel. Vessel is a human being. Or in this case, gathering in a group, a fucking idiot. We don't need that risk. The only way that we're going to get through this is to obey the rules. But I'm not turning around and saying that these rules, people are saying these rules, well, I'm not going to accept the mark of the beast. What mark are you being given? You're being just told to stay the fuck home. That's it. It's easy. Anyway, let's see. What else do we got? Okay, so we're going to go to a report called talkingpointsmemo.com, TPM. Michigan governor, better to be 6 feet apart right now than 6 feet under. I don't disagree with that. I really, really don't. Especially if there's no guarantee. I mean, we like to think that we're healthy, but there's no guarantee that CV-19 isn't going to take your ass out. I mean, shit, you know, people of various ages, yes, and it's usually associated with other health problems, but what are the numbers? And this is what I want to see, and not interesting in a good way once again. This is what I want to see. At the end of all this, I would hope to see statistical data just for my edification, and maybe and the people who want to take the time to read this, who are probably are of the same mindset, thinking the same thing. And if you haven't thought of it, I'm putting the thought in your head now. But pretty much I'm thinking everybody's thinking this. Is that, hey, what are the true statistics? By age bracket, were there anybody from the age of, say, 18 to 25, no health conditions, die of COVID-19? And on that same question, 19 through 25, how many contracted? How many died? How many survived? You know, how many were there other complications that are lasting complications after having had the CV-19 virus and being sick for a couple of weeks? You know, were there any after effects? You know, did it damage anything? I'm just curious to know that. And then, you know, each age bracket, say 19 to 25, 26 to 30, whatever, you know, and go from there. I'm just really, really curious. But anyway, so talking points, and I was going to play the video so you could hear the audio, but I'll put the web link on the No Syntax website. What does she go to say? Michigan government Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat, dug in her heels on Friday on her stay-at-home order that has sparked protest from right-wingers in her state. She says, and quote, "You know, I can take it. If it makes people feel better to take their frustrations on me, that's fine," she told Good Morning America anchor George Stephanopoulos. "All I ask is let's not get overly political here. Let's focus on public health." Completely agree. The governor recognized that her order comes with a price as people get laid off and children are prevented from going to school, but also that the order was necessary to protect Michiganders. I never knew that's what they were. Michiganders from the COVID-19 outbreak. She says, and I quote, "It's better to be 6 feet apart right now than 6 feet under," she said. On Wednesday, a throng of right-wing protesters swarmed Lansing to protest against Whitmer, who has also been targeted by President Donald Trump. The mass demonstration was organized by Michigan Conservative Coalition and the Michigan Freedom Fund, which has ties to Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. DVOS, is that DeVos? DeVos? It goes on to say several of the protesters waved pro-Trump and even Confederate flags, despite the clear fact that Michigan was never part of the Southern Confederacy. How stupid is that? Hey, Trump, Confederate flag. What the fuck, people? And there's a video, but I'm not gonna play it. But it just goes to prove the president. You know, okay. With all due respect, I'm not speaking for and I'm not speaking against the president, but between the state governors and the president of the United States, you all need to get on the same fucking sheet of music right now. At this point in time, having this friction between you and state governors, regardless of what state they're from, regardless of their political affiliation, whether they're Republican or Democrat or indifferent, I don't give a flying fuck. Y'all need to get on the same sheet of music, okay? I don't have a problem with following orders as long as they make sense. It's at the point where y'all get fucking stupid or can't agree on anything. That's what pisses me off to no end. It doesn't make sense when you are not on the same sheet of music, when you're not speaking the same language. If you don't fucking agree with that state governor, don't blast them on social media. Don't blast them in a news report. Get on the fucking phone and fucking have a phone call. Have a teleconference. Battle it out behind closed doors. But listen and understand. Don't listen to reply. Don't fucking have a retort. Understand each other's position. President Trump needs to, if he's not fucking listening, he needs to be fucking listening. If the governments aren't on the right track, they need to get on the right track. If they're not listening, they need to be fucking actively listening. Everybody needs to reciprocate in kind and get this shit straight. It is never, ever good, ever, to show any sort of descendants in the ranks, dissension, sorry. Had a brain fart. There should never be an open public display of dissension in the ranks in front of the American people, because now you are pitting the states against the president pitting himself against the states because he feels we need to go one direction and the states know that we need to go to another, and they're willing to take the hit. If the president isn't paying attention to the numbers and saying, like I alluded to earlier, where at some point in time last week, the last report that I saw, to be clear, we were still escalating, we were not declining, that other states might still be in the same position and have no business whatsoever in trying to stimulate the economy at this fucking point. It doesn't make sense. And if he's not listening, we have a fucking problem and they need to make him listen. I really wish that I worked on his fucking staff. I would not care to get fired. If we had to sit there behind closed doors inside the Oval Office and have a fucking bitch session, if that's what it took for me to get through that orange face and fake hair to get him to understand, well, how fucking important this is, that we make sure that we do everything smartly from this point on to avoid a potential surge or another outbreak that's going to put us right back at square one, wouldn't you fucking think that that makes more fucking goddamn sense? Excuse my language. I didn't mean to say goddamn, and I said it again. I didn't mean to say that, but it pisses me off to no freaking end. We have got to do better. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent and get pissed off, but that just chaps my ass. I don't believe that we're heading on the right path when we do stupid shit like this. It is absolutely fucking insane. Absolutely fucking insane. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, just want to give you a public service announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at home. So nice transition there, right? We're at home. We're getting out. People are walking, taking their dogs out, taking walks that they probably haven't taken with their spouses or their kids or their animals in God knows how long. I always reference my neighborhood. I've seen more faces than I care to see at this point in time. But I want you to know, as a public service announcement, as a friend, okay, as a promoter of physical fitness, I will tell you that go out there, get some exercise, get some good cardio in, you know, do some good fat burning exercise, maybe change your diet a little bit if you feel you need to, you know, because if this outbreak changes and it turns into a zombie apocalypse, zombies will eat the slow ones first. Just food for thought. Just want to say. Okay. Just one last thing before I go out. I responded to a post and nobody said anything. And I certainly wasn't expecting anybody to give me a laugh, a like, or a thumbs up or anything like that. But, there was a post for a video of 150 plus celebrities live performance and Q&A sessions, you know, and I'm sitting here, why do I want to see them? I'm not anyway, maybe I'll need to strike that. You know what? I'm going to even give that the time of day that people, some people think it deserves. Fuck that. Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's probably where we're going to close the show. I think that's good. I think we're good. I think I've said enough. I think I've had enough of a rant today, to say the least. I want you all to know something. We love you here at Caffeine Driven Media. We want you to stay safe. If you please disconnect from watching the news for a little while, if it totally wraps your ass, you know, get your thong twisted in your ass hairs for those guys that feel that way about wearing a thong like I do. Disconnect from the news for a little bit. Get away from it. It makes life a whole lot easier. Now, I go in and I read certain articles and I read certain things and I read some postings and I read some blog posts and I go onto news websites and I look at stuff and it gets me amped up for the show because those are some of the things I want to talk about, right? And again, you know, it's just my personal opinion. I am not trying to influence anybody into believing what I believe or thinking that I'm right. I don't believe I'm right. I don't necessarily believe I'm wrong. It's just an opinion, and everybody has one, just like a butthole. Everybody has one. Go out there and support your local small business as much as you can. You know, whether it's ordering coffee, whether it's ordering food, keep them afloat. Keep them afloat. Go out and small business are probably hiring. If you need to, go out there, do stuff. Get out of the house. Go take a walk, go take a drive if you can. I know there's some states out there that aren't, unless you have some sort of mission essential letter, they're not allowing you to even do that. So, you know, and then of course, how can they check? I'm going to the grocery store, take a drive to the grocery store, buy one thing and come back. I know I've done it a couple of times. Anyway, so everybody, I just want you to be safe. Drink coffee, drink copious amounts of coffee. Go to ironbean.com. Okay, ironbeancoffeecompany.com. Get 25% off, I believe, code 25. Buy some of their coffee. Holy shit. I'm still waiting on my order. Did an order last week. This will be the first time I've tried their K-Cups. Now, it's the same coffee in the K-Cups, but I really want to get back because I've been doing plastic pods, throwing myself under the bus. So, and I know they don't do the plastic pods. So I really want to go back and report on the difference. I do intend on the next show and in future shows to go back to start talking about coffee and let's get a little bit more in depth and looking at having Fred and Chanel on the show to talk specifically, you know, about coffee, coffee grinds, highly caffeinated coffee versus less caffeinated coffee, which works best for you, how to measure things out, so on and so forth. So, and I will post when we start to do that on the No Syntax Facebook page. Just to let you know and keep you abreastesses of the situation. So I think that's where we're going to end here. And if I could find my show notes, I will tell you that No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rimsky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. If you want to send an email, if you have any comments about today's or other shows, we do want to hear from you. You can email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, at gmail.com, or you could post your comments, I can't talk today. You can post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast. Again, that's all one word, www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at No Syntax Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Do not forget, we are on iTunes. What we would like to ask you, it would really help us out a great deal, is if you could go onto iTunes, like and subscribe, leave us a review, because that's the way we get the word out about the show. It really, really helps us. And I will tell you, leave a review. I don't give a shit if it's good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter to me. If you think we suck, tell us we suck. Tell us why we suck so we can improve later shows and do everything to get better. We will still love you. We will not hold anything against you. Good, bad, or indifferent. Like I said, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. You can also find us on iHeartRadio. And I will have all the links on the website. And one last thing. Yeah, I meant to talk about this earlier. I'm messing with a couple of other applications to put out the podcast. It's going to take some time for me to really learn them. There might be some snippets on other podcast websites, things like SoundCloud and such, that they will get posted on. So I might do some mini shorts for No Syntax. Anyway, and I'm messing around with doing YouTube videos. So just to let you know. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye.